Great to have you with us on WPR News. Larry Mueller here, and I am happy to say that Dr. Zorba Pastor is in the house with us.
You mean, so this is my house call?
That's your house call.
It's my house call at the station. It's a house call in modern times, right? It's a radio house call.
Oh, man. Dr. Zorba, retired physician, author, host of the nationally syndicated WPR radio show, Zorba Pastor on Your Health. Show is retiring after 33 years on the air, but its mission of health and wellness was going to continue with Dr. Zorba's new podcast called Stay Well with Dr. Zorba Pastor. We'll learn some more about that. But we want to talk about this career here, 33 years on the air. Oh, my goodness. And as we do, call in. I hope you'll join in. What are your favorite memories of Zorba Pastor on Your Health? Maybe there's a piece of advice that stuck with you over the years. Let us know. Give a call. The number's 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Dr. Zorba, welcome, by the way. You just finished taping your final
show.
What are you feeling as you wrap up?
Well, you know, it's mixed emotions. You know, it sort of defines bittersweet. You know, it has been sweet. It has been an honor to be able to do this over, you know, more than three decades. I mean, the show has legs like you. I mean, it's an honor. It's an honor for you to be here and talk to people all the time. You know, it's really, and it's humbling, you know, when people come up to me, and I'm sure they come up to you and they say, thank you, Larry, for being there. I really appreciate what you do. And it's a humbling, you know, experience. And it's so wonderful to be able, it was so wonderful for me for more than, you know, 33 years, three decades, you know, and a little bit more, to be able to help people with their medical problems. And the way I actually kind of got started was it was in my office one day, telling somebody to quit smoking, you know, and it went through a whole thing. And I thought, there must be a better way to do this, you know, and do it through the media. And I talked to Monica Petkus, who I knew as a friend from others, and bam, here it is 33 years later. I'm still the same age, by the way, look exactly like I did when I started 33 years ago. But it's humbling. And this is my gap year. You know, I'm in a gap year now.
We have a clip from the very first broadcast of the show. It's a short clip, and that was back in 1992, and I think Lee's got that hooked up. Let's listen.
What's this all about, Dr. Pastor, and why in the world would we be doing recipes in a program that deals with health and medicine?
When we're talking about good health, we can't talk about good health without exercise and without proper nutrition. So on every show, we're going to give a recipe from my tried and tested kitchen, a healthful recipe which will more or less be for fruit or vegetable or some other food that you may not have thought.
Okay.
This is useful.
That's coming up in just a minute, right here on the very first broadcast of Zorba Pastor on Your Health.
You know, Tom sounded a little more formal.
Didn't he?
Yeah, he was more, I mean, that quickly changed.
Yes, that's right. He was a little bit more formal. He had a lot of verve in his voice. You know, they had his little bit. Well, he was, you know, he did the
Clark,
interview.
Tom Clark, by the way, we're talking about
Yeah,
here.
Tom Clark. So we did the interview show. But yeah, he sounded a little bit more formal. And my voice pretty much is about the same. You know, it's this high voice that I hated when I was 16 years old, you know, and you know, and a young guy, and, you know, my voice is pretty, you know, it speaks of itself. But, hey, 33 years, not bad. You know, the formula worked. And we change, you know, like you are. You massage it with the times. You adapt to what it is. But people, people
I
like
hated
that.
My voice, too. When I first went on the air, Carl Schmidt was
Carl
on the
Schmidt,
air.
I remember
and
Carl
he had
Schmidt.
These golden tones, right, and I tried to sound like Carl for a minute. Well, I can't do that, so I might as well just be me, and you're you, too. I mean, you're you. And
that's funny.
That helps make the show. So I think your own personality.
Yeah, so it was the same thing for you when you first listened to your voice.
Oh, yeah, I hated the sound of it. I was high-pitched and didn't sound very good.
Isn't that funny? I mean, yay, the same. And here we are talking years later with that voice. But, you know, the tenor, you know, if you love radio and love communication, you know, you keep up with it. And I love listening to you because you're insightful. Your voice has a lot of range into your insight. You really get into people when you're talking to them because you're involved, because you're listening, and you are the listener asking the question of the person who's in your show. So yeah. I listen to your show all the time.
Well, thank you for that.
And I mean it.
Well, enthusiasm and energy and friendliness that you brought to the show,
thanks.
I think made the show, and along, of course, with the great information that you were able to provide. I think one of the best things was you were always able to provide straightforward information on sometimes difficult topics.
Right.
In a way that any of us could understand.
Yeah. No, I think, you know, part of the issue with medicine that has actually changed over, you know, the last number of years is we use the wrong words. So we might say, oh, your husband had a myocardial infarction.
What's that?
You know, he had a heart attack. Oh, I understand that. So part of it is, you know, we use words that are technical words within our own group, and then we didn't necessarily apply them to people so they could understand things. They weren't necessarily difficult concepts, but they were said in a difficult way. Like, let's say a stroke. A stroke is a blood clot in the brain.
Yeah.
Easy to say. But if you say, there's stenosis within the cerebral artery, it's a whole different thing. Yeah. Well, what's stenosis, cerebral artery? And then people were afraid to ask questions.
Yeah. Yeah. Don in Iron River has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Don.
Hi, Don here. Doc, what's your favorite recipe?
Oh, gosh. You know, I'll tell you one thing. First of all, my favorite recipe is usually the last recipe I had, but my favorite recipe will be on my last show called Picnic Chicken. It's a really good recipe where you can take chicken thighs, bone in, skin on. Believe me, you can use boneless, skinless chicken breast, but it doesn't taste as good. And you do it for a picnic, and that's my favorite recipe. But basically, I love food. I mean, so my recipe is whatever I'm making that day.
And so you did a recipe for every show. How many shows do you...
Oh, God, we don't count over 10. We stop at a certain number. How many shows in 33 years? That's a lot of recipes. You know, some of them were mine and some of them were others. I mean, otherwise I'd be cooking all the time. But, you know, that's a lot of shows. It's a big number.
Well, Don, you're going to have to tune in on Saturday.
That's right. Picnic Chicken.
It'll be
there on Saturday.
There you go. Katie in Fond du Lac, your turn. Hi, Katie.
Oh, hi there. And hi there, Dr. Zorba.
Hi.
I get choked up just thinking about you leaving the airwaves. You have been so kind and compassionate and knowledgeable. Oh. And I'm getting choked up now, so I won't keep.
Well,
I just wanted to say thank you with all my heart. Oh,
well, thank you. Thank you so much, really. That's... That's
now you're choking me up, Katie.
Oh, it's very humbling. You don't know the people that you touch. You know, it's rare, and we have lots of letters that people said, lots of call-ins for people say thank you for what you've done, and you know, all I do is to provide information, then people change. You know.
It is fun to get makes you want to keep going when you get a letter from somebody or an email.
Doesn't it? Because you get letters all the time.
Yeah, and you know, I've been using this same pancake recipe you gave Larry 20 years ago, and I still, I didn't realize I had this problem, you know, whatever it was, I have sleep apnea until I heard you talk about it on the show. So those
really?
Are, well, you must get the same.
Yes, I do. I do. I get that. I get the feedback. On the street, people tell me, and because I have a distinctive voice, In the supermarket, if I'm talking to the cashier, people in back of me will go, oh, you're Dr. Zorba Pastor. And they do it in a certain cadence, so I know if they're public radio people. Because they do TV stuff in Madison, so they say it one way in Madison for TV and one way for radio. It's a cadence issue. And I go, thank you. And then they'll tell me quite often, you know, you did this, and it really helped me, or it helped my mother. And once again, and it's kind of embarrassing. It's sort of it's sort of embarrassing. So what I've learned to do, and I've asked others, is I say thank you, and then I physically now put my hand over my heart.
Oh.
And then that helps me because it's humbling. That's what it is.
Jake had emailed us, just wanted to say that. My grandpa and grandma used to listen to Zorba for Jake's entire childhood. Jake is now 31. Uh-huh. So quite literally his entire life. He doesn't remember all of the advice, but he certainly remembered the comfort found in your voice and the obvious care you took for so many listeners. And thank you for all you've done.
Yeah. So I have to tell you. So I'm in Woodman's, shopping in Woodman's in Madison, and I'm looking for cornbread. Okay. So I'm in that area of Woodman's.
Yeah.
And I see somebody working there, and I said, can you tell me where the cornbread is? And he looks at his eyes light up, and he says, you're Dr. Zorba Pastor. And then there's another thing. It's like, I listened to you as a kid. That means, and there's a whole thing that goes through, that means you must be really old, because here it is, I'm middle-aged. And there's a certain visual thing that is really kind of funny, because they're going through, listen, to you as a kid, so that was a long time ago.
Well, and there is it's fortunate that neither of us get in too much trouble, because it's kind of like maybe a minister when you're out in public.
Yes. Oh, you have to be careful. Oh, yes.
When you're out in public?
Yes. No, I was in the dog park with someone, and the dog was bothering my dog, and I was with with my daughter Vanessa, and she said, "Be careful, Dad." You know, I mean, I had to ask the owner about the dog, and she said, "You're a public figure. Be careful in what you say." Yeah, that's who. But you're right. You do have to. But you know, it's sort of kind of his natural thing. We should be, but we are public.
So, what surprised you about when you started? What surprised you about being a radio host?
Gosh, what surprised me? Well, first of all, what surprised me, you know, that I could do it. That's really what surprised me. Could I actually do it? And then the second thing that surprised me is, could I do it well? Because, I mean, the took off. We had a lot of things nationally. I was with Tom. And that was the thing that surprised me. The other thing that surprised me was people called in with really interesting, heartfelt questions. And I knew how to answer them. And if I didn't, I could say, I don't know what this is, in an interesting way. So usually I would then ask them a question. Let's say it was on Marfan syndrome, and I hadn't read about it recently. I would say, why are you calling about it? I would, you know, change the question a little bit. And then they would talk about there was a friend, or they were worried about it. And I couldn't answer them, but I could tell them where to look for the information. So I discovered that I could say, I don't understand it, but let me show you where you should go to find out about it.
Well, you do such a nice job, or did such a nice job over the years, about making it a nice conversation. Uh-huh. It wasn't just ask the question, give the answer.
Yeah. That wouldn't have worked, right?
No.
Would have been boring.
No, it doesn't work.
That would have been boring. It would have just been like, it would have been a boring thing. And it's that conversation with Tom, and then with Carl, because we would go back and forth all the time. So the banter, the entertainment of the banter, then allowed people then to get information. You know what I mean? Because we're like, we're doing right now, we're talking. People are listening to our voice back and forth, and then you'll pop in with some information for them.
Zorba Pastor, Dr. Zorba Pastor, our guest today. If you have a message for him, want to say something about him, maybe, again, there's tip that he gave that you have used to your health advantage, I hope you'll join in. Give a call. The number's 800-642-1234, or you could email us to talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Coming up at noon today, the author of the book True North Cabin Cookbook shares some delicious recipes. I tried one of them, and they're great. It's great. At 12:30, the Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Tourism joins us to talk about fall events and activities across the state. But right now, we're visiting with Dr. Zorba Pastor. And if you'd like to say something to Dr. Zorba, I hope you'll join in at 800-642-1234. You could email to talk at WPR.org. Let's go to Roger in Grantsburg next. Hi, Roger.
Hi, Larry. How are you doing today?
Great. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm glad I finally got to call in and talk to Dr. Zorba. I've been listening to you for quite a few years, and I've referred your name to doctors from St. Paul, Minnesota to Duluth, Minnesota.
Wow.
And they're like, well, I went up for a gallbladder removal, and they said, well, I'd heard this on Dr. Zorba. Well, who is that? I said, well, he's on the radio. Wow, that must be some kind of a hack. I said, no. I said, he's a very good doctor. I said, you should tune in and listen to him. And they're like, well, we're going to have to do this. Where do you get that on? What station? I said, well, it's on Wisconsin Public Radio. I said, it can't be bad if it's on public radio. You know, come on, that's for old folks. And they're like, well, oh, no, he must be some kind of a hack. I said, no, he's not. I said, you should tune in and listen. And I went back for my follow-up appointment, and I said, well, we tuned into your Dr. Zorba, and he does seem rather intelligent.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that Roger, thanks.
I love it. From hack to intelligent. That must be a hack. But I must tell you, so the American Medical Association in the early 70s said doctors should not be on radio or television because you would interrupt the doctor-patient relationship. I mean, can you believe that? There was like, you know, why are you actually, you know, out there? Which, of course, made no sense at all, yeah. But I am not a hack.
No, you are not. Tom from Quantico emailed, his favorite memory is listening to the show with his brother, Bob, Sundays when they would be driving back to McQuantico from skiing, the American Birkebeiner, over 20 years of that, they did it. Tom's brother is a family practice doctor, and he loved your suggestions, often trying to guess what you were going to say.
Nice. That really is good, yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, one of the compliments, I think, really complimentary, is I don't get pushback from doctors. You know, I don't get negative letters. They may say, I think it should be this way or that way. I do get corrections because nobody's right all the time. But I don't get pushback like, why are you saying this? Why are you doing that? That just doesn't happen. And that's, for me, that's a big compliment. We're in Madison, Wisconsin, and, you know, it's a medical town. There are a lot of highly professional specialist people. In fact, I was coming back on the airplane from Sun Valley yesterday, and I'm with somebody who is chairman of the Department of Engineering. He was really interested in the radio show. And I thought, here it is, the chairman of the Department of Engineering at the UW. How cool is that? So, yeah.
And here's a voice from somebody you may have worked with, Rachel in Viroqua. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Dr. Zorba. This is Rachel. I was a resident when you actually still used to do rounds at St. Mary's every once in a while. So,
neat.
Longer ago than I would care to acknowledge, but I just remember because I had already heard you on the radio sometimes too, and I thought it was really cool and to get to talk to you and work with you. So I'm sorry to hear that you're retiring, it sounds like, but I wish you the best of luck with your next adventures,
well,
and I'll have to figure out somebody else to listen to when I'm out in my garden.
Well, thank you. You know, it's my gap year. That's what I'm looking at is. And I'm going to have a podcast, A Joyful Take on Healthy Living. And if you just put my name in Apple Podcast or Spotify, even right now, you'll get the podcast when it comes out. But it's not going to be an hour show. It's going to be 15 minutes. There'll be five topics in those 15 minutes, different format, because I just can't give up communicating with people. And
I think
and
that
I love
it's
it.
Great. So 15-minute podcast.
Five different topics. So there'll be a call in there. There'll be something on food or entertainment. So let me tell you one of the entertainment things. So years ago, I was listening to, I don't remember, some it was a show on NPR. And they said, if you really want to have a wonderful dinner party, invite two people who don't like each other and watch the sparks fly, because everyone will wonder. So we, you know, that's part of what we discuss. It's kind of a funny little thing. And then we're going to have quackery behind the scene, but we've done a couple of them. I'll be with my co-host Carl. Sorry, that's not Tom. I'll be with Carl. And yeah, it's going to be a great show. It's going to be fun.
And so we go to where?
It's going to start in October, but right now we have the Wisconsin Public Radio podcast, a bunch of people who listen to me on WPAR. Yeah. That's going to flow into this. So if people go to anywhere they get their podcasts, Apple, Spotify, wherever, and they put my name in, Zorba Pastor or Dr. Zorba, it'll pop into the podcast. They push a button, and then it'll go into there. And they'll get a weekly podcast. So they'll get a weekly update. They can do it right now. The WPR podcast will continue until the show ends, which is at the end of this month. Mm-hmm. And then they'll get the new podcast. I've already recorded a couple of them with Carl. And it sounds good because Carl has been producing the show for more than a decade. And he's a really good guy. And he's funny. And he's young. And he's got a couple of kids. And he's got a funny sense of humor.
Yeah, that's going to be great. And let me ask you this on the air. We would love to have you come and be a guest on this show from time to time. Would you be willing to do that?
I think I would love that. I don't think I would be willing. I think I would love that. I would love it because you're like the other person and you have this sense of humor. I would love to be. I would love it. So the answer is yes, right. Absolutely.
We will make arrangements. We will make arrangements to have that
but
happen.
But that really, because I've listened to you, for years. You know, yeah, I mean, you've got
been a long time.
We stop counting after a certain age, right?
Yeah.
You get to a certain age. Like when I play golf, I cannot count over six. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And therefore, my score is not too bad, you know. And then it's half strokes on the green, right? It's not a full stroke. It's only a half stroke.
And you can never putt more than three.
That's right, three. Yeah,
then three is the max.
Yeah, three. Yeah, you see, you're a golfer. See, we'll have to golf together.
We'd probably be a good pair together out there.
Or you can make up your score before you start. Then you don't even have to have the pencil. Exactly. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness.
Phil in Mount Horeb, what's on your mind?
Hello. So much fun in your shows. I'm glad that you'll be coming back occasionally. It's just been a real terrific journey with your leader.
Oh, thank you.
I'm calling because about a year ago, I think, you presented a very interesting factoid, and that was on the issue of standing on one foot and balance and longevity. And I have been fascinated by that. I've been practicing my balance.
No, it's good.
I hope to live longer, if I can just keep my balance. Anyway.
But I want to tell you something about that specifically. So I was just in Jackson Hole. Good friend of mine. I've known her for 20 years. She just climbed the Grand Tetons. She is the oldest person to ever climb the Grand. 81 and 4 months. The oldest person. So she showed me one of the things that she does for balance. She uses a yoga block. I had never seen this before. Mm. A little square. I don't know if you've ever seen it there. And puts it next to like a railing, and she stands on one foot on there. And that's what she did. So that is what I'm going to start doing. And I would highly recommend that. Not just standing on one foot on the ground, but standing on a yoga block, but next to a railing. Because then you're up a little bit higher. Because, you know, one of the goals is not to fall. And in Wisconsin, we are number one for senior citizens falling, and we don't know why, in the country. Fall down over 65, fracture your hip, 25% chance you will be dead within 1 year.
Yeah, we just talked about that on my show about a week ago, as a matter of fact, falls. And the seriousness of it. But, Phil, I think you had something you wanted to add there at the end.
Yes. Your factoid said, I believe, that if you could stand on 1 foot for 10 seconds, your lifespan was...
A specific number. Right.
Could you just repeat that for guests who haven't heard it?
No, if you can stand on 1 foot for 10 seconds, that actually is demonstrative of the fact that you're going to live longer. I don't remember the exact numbers, but that very simple test of simply being able to stand on for a full 10 seconds shows a level of fitness, and that shows that you are more likely to stay fit in a whole bunch of ways. It's like a mini test of your heart and your balance and everything else. And I don't remember precisely where it came from, but it comes from multiple sources. We don't think of balance. We think of, oh my goodness, I got to get on the treadmill 20 minutes, 3 days a week, measure my heart rate. No, balance is a key issue. And Larry, you know that because you live in Wisconsin. I mean, you go out and you like to be outdoors.
Every morning I'm out for a couple, 3 miles at around 5:30 in the morning.
5:30? How can you get up that early?
I'm an early guy, early riser. So I do better in the morning than I do in the late in the day.
But actually, it turns out that people who exercise and do something early in the morning are much more likely to stay on that regime. Study has shown that.
I've been doing it for years.
Yeah, so you get it. Well, that's why you're so healthy. And that keeps your mind strong. So there's a book I read a review of called Strength. That's just the name of it. I don't know who the author is. I just pulled it down on my Kindle. I haven't looked at it. And it was reviewed in the Wall Street Journal weekend edition either this last week or the week before, but I read it on the airplane. And the concept is that we think of the mind, the brain, and the body as two separate things, and they're not. And we know that when you exercise, you're more likely to keep your memory. Yeah. So that you're walking, you're thinking about things, you're moving your body, you're using your muscles, you're actually nourishing your brain, and that makes it more likely than not you're going to continue to be able to use your brain. And then, of course, as you get older, that is the big issue.
Yeah. Phil, thanks again. I appreciate it. Perry in Oconto, we'll go to you. Hi, Perry.
Hey, Dr. Zorba. I just wanted to mention there was one episode years ago, I would say it's probably 30 years ago, where you and Tom Clark were talking about probably exercising out in the winter and how your boots and stuff would get all wet and how to dry them out. And a person called in and he suggested a peat shoe dryer.
Oh, yes, and, yes, yes.
And
right.
You said, they use peat to dry shoes. And that's been a family favorite for over 30 years. So we use those things religiously, so we knew what they were. And when this caller called in, and he said, you use a peat shoe dryer, and you thought you were stuffing peat in the boot. Oh,
thanks, Perry. Oh, my goodness. Barbara in Middleton emailed us. WPR is a constant in Barbara's life, and you are, Dr. Zorba, is high on the list from your first broadcast aired. Barbara's listened and learned. And it's congratulations, and she'll miss those weekly shows. But now
that's right. My weekly podcast, a joyful take on healthy living. And we're going to emails that are there. It's drzorba@gmail.com. You just spell it out, drzorba@gmail.com. And then it's the podcast will be Stay Well with Dr. Zorba. And you just pull it up on any podcast site. And we already have a bunch of listeners, 10,000, 20,000 listeners on our WPR podcast, and that's going to pull off. And I've now done, as I said, we have four in the can, as they say, and I'm happy with it. But of course, I have been doing this for
a long time, 33 years.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, please. I'm the same age. Come on. We're the same age there.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we that's are. Right. Because 59 years or so.
59 years. Can you believe it?
That's a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you believe when you were first starting this that you'd be doing it?
I thought I'd be doing it for 1 year until I finished my master's degree. Then I thought maybe when I'm finished my PhD, I'd be done. No.
Well, that's because you love it, and you love talking to all these people. I'm one of them, and they're interesting, and it feeds your brain. And what could be better? You're interviewing. Yeah. I mean, all the people you interview, except for me, are interesting.
Including you. Oh, gosh. Glenn and Am... Hurst has something to add here. Glenn, hi.
Hi, Larry, and welcome, Dr. Zorba.
Thank you.
So many years we've been listening to you. It's been really great, informative, and just a joy. All the recipes I like to cook, too. But just a little note on the balance. I take this old people's class called Strong Bodies.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And it's a nationally known program to just keep you fit. And anyway, we stand on each foot for a minute and a half on each foot.
Great.
Woo,
great. For our balance. And then we walk a straight line for 15 steps with one foot in front of the other while you
Perfect.
Look up at the board.
Perfect.
Oh,
great ideas.
I wanted to thank you so much for being of service to all the people that listen to you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Glenn.
Thank you very much for that compliment. You know, he brings up a good point, you know. So once again, so if you have balance and strength, when you're walking a little bit, you trip a little bit, you know, you hit your foot, you're more likely to catch yourself. So here it is. Just came back from a dude ranch. I was afraid of horses in Wyoming at a dude ranch. And I was walking one of the young guys. His name was Levi. Walk from the corral into where the saddles were. And he walked in. And it kind of tripped a little on the stair. You know, it tripped a little as he walked in. He never noticed it. He's like 22, 24. Yeah. But as an old, and it, you know, he didn't trip too much. But as an old person, we notice that. And I was thinking, if you trip a little bit when you're walking, when you're old, you often blame it on age. And here it is, a 20-year-old, 24-year-old. Does the same thing, but he doesn't think it's age. So it's part of what we do when we're walking on irregular ground or in the woods. We're going to trip a little bit. You got the balance. You got the strength. You're less likely to fall. And that's a big goal in our state.
Tom called, couldn't stay with us. One of the things he loves about you is that you will admit when you're wrong.
Thank you.
Which is great. And Andrew in Waterford emailed, wondering, will archived episodes of the show remain on the WPR website after the show is retired?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
That's a good question. That is a good question. I don't know the answer to that, but we'll put it up on I think we should put it on the WPR website. I can't imagine why they wouldn't be archived. Why would they just be put on a shelf so nobody ever sees them again and then...
Yeah, and most of the advice, I mean, you could think about, 30 years ago, maybe the advice has changed from...
But if you have the date on there, well, yeah, you can't, but at least people can listen to it, and the whole idea is that that then gives them information so they can make their decision right. I wonder what I did advise 30 years ago, and I wouldn't advise today. There's got to be something.
That's an interesting one to think about. Dr. Zorba Pastor, our guest today, as we talk with him, as he winds up the nationally syndicated WPR radio show, Zorba Pastor on Your Health. And I hope you'll join in with your own thoughts and comments for Dr. Zorba as we move along today. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or if you'd like, you could email us. And the email address is talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Great to have you along today on WPR News. Tomorrow on the show, PJ Leash is back to answer your insect questions, and we'll also talk about solar energy for your home. That's tomorrow. Right now, visiting with Dr. Zorba, pastor, and having a lot of fun talking with him. An interesting time here. Sue in Baraboo has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Sue.
Hi, Larry and Dr. Zorba. Dr. Zorba, I really enjoyed your preparation, your horseback riding lessons, and then your pictures of George out in the dude ranch.
Oh, you saw this. You saw it on my Facebook page. Great.
You know, oh, my goodness. And I'm going to ask you a question that you know the answer to because I already posted it. So, Dr. Zorba, what's the best joke to tell a horse?
I don't know. What is it?
A tale of woe.
Oh.
That's a good dad joke.
That's a good dad joke. That's right.
That is a good dad joke.
Well, thanks. Thanks for sharing that. When I go back out west again, I'll tell that to George and see what he says.
Thank you, Sue. Chris in Monroe. Your turn. Hi, Chris.
Hi. Zorba, this is Chris Narverson. I was a patient of yours for probably 30 years until you put that on hold for other things.
Yes, that's right. That's right. That's right. You were a good patient. I had a lot of patients over the years. I had patients who stayed with me if they stayed in town and would travel because you develop these relationships.
Yeah.
You know, part of the issue in modern medicine is if you walk into an office and the person is looking at the computer and not looking at you, we lost something. Mm-hmm. You know, the art of medicine is looking at the person. And by the way, AI is going to help us with that. We shouldn't be afraid of AI. We've been there. And when I was out at the Dude Ranch, they have a wonderful old library. So I was looking at a 1953 Book of Knowledge update. And it was called The New Brain. And it was tubes. Do you, Larry, remember the tubes, like radio tubes? It was tubes used in Denver to control traffic instead of policemen, you know, out there. And that this was going to change the world. And I looked at it. That was AI in 1953. So we've actually had it with us for a long, long time. So, well, thank you for being my patient so long.
I'd like to add one thing in here. I mean, you were more than a doctor. I mean, you spent time, you know, we went through some hard times. And,
thank you.
I really appreciate you, being a doctor for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You know, it's, like I said, it's humbling.
You're the kind of doctor who gets to know the patient, gets to know the family, and that all probably helps you in what you might recommend
It's a win-win. You know, you're more likely to get advice and decide whether or not to take it. I don't want to just say take advice.
Yeah.
If you develop trust, you don't develop trust without interaction. You don't develop it on a screen. It's hard to develop on Zoom. It's this personal interaction. The art of medicine is unchanged. And people are more likely to take that information and then follow it. I mean, you try to give, but you still have to make that individual decision of whether or not to do that. And trust is involved in a very interesting way. And the idea behind the show for all these years is I'll give you some information so you can ask the question and then you feel self-efficacy enough to ask the question. So because you're not afraid to ask the question, because if you're afraid to ask the question, your medical care is not going to be as good, right?
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. Chris, thanks again. Helen in West Salem, what's on your mind?
Well, I was going to call Dr. Zorb. I always listen to Dr. Zorb. And years ago, he talked about bunions and some solution. Well, but a man called in with a simple solution. Soak your foot in vinegar, vinegar water, straight vinegar for, 15 minutes or so every day. By gosh, that worked. Within a week, the bunion, it was leaving. It was unreal. And that was from one of your listeners.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting.
Very, very interesting. You know, it's important to take folk remedies like this, you know, whatever we don't want to disparage and say it's a folk remedy, it's not good. A bunion is basically, it's a bony protuberance, it's a real bony protuberance, but there's inflammation around the skin on the outside and maybe the fat that's on the outside. And if you soak it in something like vinegar, that may reduce the inflammation so it's not painful. It's not going to affect the bone if it's a real bunion, there's bone change, but it is going to affect the skin and the fat pad around the bone, and then you may never need surgery. And bunion surgery is the pits. I mean, it's really painful.
You don't want to do that. And it just it reminds me about the role of listeners who call a show. Any show.
Yeah. Yeah. No, listeners come in with good information, right?
Yeah.
They
of
tell
course.
You stuff. Yeah, that's right. They're not just random people who are out there with blank slates. And that's what you do on your show. They come in and they interact all the time and they'll say, well, what about this or that? You know, and you mentioned the thing about insects. It's coming up. So that is the leading cause of venom death in the country. 2 to 3 people, maybe up to 4, die of snake bites. Very few. 500 to 750, up to 1,000 people die of insect bites because of allergic reactions. So they are the leading cause. And that's kind of it's not a fun fact, but that's a factoid that's important to people because if they're allergic to insects, they need an EpiPen with them.
Yeah.
You know, so they may not know that, and they may think, gee, I wonder if I have an allergic reaction. They can talk to their doctor, get an EpiPen. They keep it with them when they're hiking or whenever, so it's not too far away, and that can save lives. Anyway, it was just a thought that came out because I know you're doing insects soon.
Well, and I'm glad you brought that. I might bring that back up.
On the show. No, you know what? It actually is a good thing to bring up when people are listening to insects on the show. And the EpiPens, they have they've got a date, a good date. By the way, when it comes to drugs and medications, they put an expiration date. It's not as if the drug goes bad then. It's that the feds, they have to have a certain amount of testing. The feds test it, goes to a date. The drugs are generally good, and they're at the same equivalent milligram up to 6 months after that date. Doesn't mean that after that date they get worse. So aspirin, for instance, lasts for 100 years in a bottle, but they still give it a 3-year date. So if you have a question about the expiration date, ask the pharmacist.
Yeah.
Because they don't get enough questions, and they love to answer those questions.
Very good point. Cheryl in Iron Ridge, we'll give you a chance to join in. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, thank you for taking my call, Larry. Usually I call on the garden show, but Dr. Zorba, your recipes are awesome. Your recipes are totally awesome.
Thank you.
Well,
and I'm going to miss them.
Thank you.
Well, will you be doing a recipe on your podcast?
Yes. The podcast, I'll be doing recipes, entertainment, but most of the podcasts are going to have recipes. And then, you know, we'll talk a little bit about the ingredients because the podcasts are different. We won't go through them. And that'll pop up to the website. So in other words, we'll give the recipe and then we'll say for more information, you know, go to our website, drzorba.org, and then they can get the whole recipe. Yeah, because food is important, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and basically getting rid of ultra-processed foods is a major issue that really is now coming to the forefront, and you can do that by cooking.
Yeah, and it's fun.
Yes, it is fun.
You like to cook.
Oh, I love cooking. I love cooking. And when I was in medical school in Chicago, I was good friends. I went to undergraduate school in Madison, and there were 5 of us. And once a week or so, we would all cook for each other. And that's where I learned my love of cooking and food. And you save money.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. You know, if I'm with my, you know, we talk about that all the time. If I'm with my kids, they're coming in from out of town, and we make a good meal, and then we periodically go, well, if we went out to eat, how much would this cost? And we're talking about a lot of money.
So. Back when I was a very young man, I had a friend, Kurt Westbrook, who I would cook kind of fancy meals once in a while. And for dating, he said, you know what, I'm going to put together a menu. And so he put together a menu of all my favorites, and then we would present the menu to whoever we wanted to date and say, pick one of those and Larry will prepare it. And so we could do that for a whole lot less money. And the women we talk, we're always impressed.
Oh, of course. Of course. That is really great. That is a great way. That is a great way to pick up women to say, what would you like to eat? I'll make this for you. That is, I bet they were, you know, your guys, well, first of all, cooking food in that age, you don't do it. But that was very impressive. So I love it. I love it. You have a list. What would you like to eat? I'll make it for you. Oh, it's great. That's a great thing.
The deal was that if whatever each person's friend wanted to eat, then we would have to eat the same thing.
Of course.
I wasn't going to make four different things.
No, you were not going to make four different. You were not going to. So one of the people I won't name who works at Wisconsin Public Radio, the first time he dated his wife, he knows who he is. I'm not going to mention his name. I said, and she made a wonderful dinner for him. Mushroom dish.
Mm-hmm.
He hates mushrooms. He hates mushrooms. He doesn't dislike them. And she made this dish, and he had to eat the mushrooms and smiles. It's really delicious. To this day, he does not like mushrooms, but he's married.
So Amy wants to know, if you clean homes for a living 6 to 7 hours a day, does that equate to exercising?
Yes.
And what will also help your brain?
So first of all, it is. When you're cleaning homes, it is exercise. And if you're gardening, if you're cleaning homes, think about it. You're moving your body all the time. That is exercise. You know, the 10,000 step things, by the way, was made up by the first Japanese company that invented the pedometer. And they did it because it's a good luck number. So from a steps point of view, if you're below 1,500 steps, you're frail. That's a big issue. Once you get to 4,000 or 5,000, that's pretty good. Probably the number, best number is 6,000 or 7,000. You're working and cleaning. Absolutely, that counts as exercise. And you do not need to do exercise outside of that, I'm sure.
Mark emailed
you're
us.
You're laughing.
Well, how do you really pronounce tinnitus? And are there any prescriptions or non-prescription remedies that cure or at least minimize the problem?
Everyone pronounces tinnitus as either tinnitus or tinnitus. And the Brits have one way. The Americans have another way. And I pronounce it both ways. So that question is easy to answer. And the other question is, we have no cure for it. We do know that sound in the background tends to basically make it so you can live with it more. I have tinnitus. So you know what I mean. You always say, and when we talk about it, it becomes louder.
I just heard it now.
That's what I mean. So you know what I'm talking about. That's right. And I got to tell you, when the crickets come out and I have the windows open, I can't tell if it's the crickets or my tinnitus because the sound changes. But there is no cure. There is no cure for tinnitus. So you have to figure out how to live with it. And for some people, it's very disturbing, and they need to have psychological therapy to help them. Not you, Larry. You are not one of them.
Christine wonders how Tom's doing, and do you get
Tom is doing
in touch?
Well. Yeah, I saw him. Oh, I'm in touch. I saw him maybe 2-3 weeks ago. I recorded some stuff. He'll be on the final show. He's doing well. You know, he's got medical problems. I think 88 or 89, right. But he's doing well. Gets up in the morning, does some exercise, walks. He's doing just fine. And when I see him next time, I will tell him that people asked about him. One of the things he always says is, I'm not really part of the show. You're giving the information. And I said, no, Tom, you are really part of it. So, yeah, he's doing well.
Well, I tell you what, it's been a real pleasure. Once again, let's plug that.
Oh, yes. So it's a joyful take on healthy living. So it's Stay Well with Dr. Zorba. That's it. You put in Stay Well with Dr. Zorba. Our website will be up to very soon, drzorba.org. But get our podcast, put my name anywhere you get your podcast, sign up now, and you will get the WPR podcast, and you will get my new podcast. And let me tell you, it's great, it's a lot of fun, and we're going to be answering questions. So you call up, we may talk to you on the air. Is that what we say with podcasts?
Sure, why not? It reminds me, I on Saturday mornings when I would come in to do the show, when I first started, Dr. H. Kent Tenney was on for 15 minutes with Carl Schmidt, and I heard him every Saturday morning.
That I never heard. I heard Carl Schmidt. Oh, he was on. Oh, I never heard him. So, yeah, medical stuff is people love it for good reason.
Dr. Zorba, Pastor, and he will be coming back to be with us from between 11 and 1 o'clock. We're going to set that up afterwards, and I'm looking forward to doing it. Dr. Zorba, Pastor, winding up 33 years with his program, and it's been a wonderful ride. And coming up, we're going to take a look at a new cookbook that I tried one recipe and I really loved it. And we'll talk about that next. I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks for joining us on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. We're turning our attention now to a new cookbook. It's titled True North Cabin Cookbook, Volume 2, Seasonal Recipes from a Cozy Kitchen is the subtitle of it. And our guest is the author, Stephanie Hansen. She's also the host of Taste Buds with Stephanie and the social commentator behind the Weekly Dish radio show, and Dishing with Stephanie Dish podcast. She's not busy at all. She lives in Golden Valley, Minnesota, and that's one thing I like, too. I like this Midwest vibe here. And as we talk with her, I want to hear from you. Maybe you've got a cabin up north. What do you eat when you're there? Are you looking for a dish maybe to bring to football Sunday or maybe Thanksgiving? You don't really have to have a cabin. For sure, I know that I have a cabin, but I cooked one of the dishes right in my own home a week or so ago and really enjoyed it. So regardless if you have a cabin or not, you're going to like this book. You can join in with your own questions, maybe about recipes, maybe about the book. The number is 800-642-1234, or you could send an email to talk@wpr.org. Stephanie Hansen, welcome.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited.
Oh, I'm telling you what, I really enjoyed your book. What was the inspiration behind it?
I think when COVID happened, I was sitting at the cabin and I was with my 92-year-old mother-in-law. And the cabin's on an island in northern Minnesota on a very beautiful lake. And I started thinking about all of the time I spent with her and the recipes that were in our family heritage. And I really wanted to document them for my daughter and write down some of the things that people would always eat when they came to the cabin. And that was sort of the start of it. But then I kind of got into it because obviously cabin culture and cabin cooking is really about spending time with your family and your friends typically. So that first book was chronicled of May through September because the cabin is only available to get to by boat. So
yeah,
we have to close it down after Labor Day. And then the second book that came out, they said, hey, how about you complete the year? Then we can get the October, November, December holiday recipes, January, February soups. The March, April is barely spring is coming. You know, you have a little spring earlier than we do. But so that was sort of the narrative that I used to craft all the stories, to put the recipes together. And the first book is really like my family lore. But I found that the second book was really more the way that I actually cook and the way I like to cook and less of what like my grandmas and my aunties cooked and more of what I like.
Well, you have some wonderful recipes here. What is it about cooking in a cabin influences your cooking?
Yeah, I think it's just, again, like about being with your family, being with your loved ones. It's a place where you're truly your most at home, I think. Now, in Wisconsin, you guys call them cottages because I've been to a number of Wisconsin cottages. My whole family is from Wisconsin. My father was from the Wapaka, Wisconsin, and Appleton and that whole lakes area. We spent a lot of time there. I just feel like the coziness, that Midwest vibe, the ability to cook seasonally, but not make it super complicated. Like all the recipes have ingredients that you can find at any small grocery store. Like that was a criteria. It couldn't be anything that was too fussy.
Well, that's what I really liked about the book. As you know, as I looked at the recipes, I could say, well, I've got that. I've got that. I've got that. I've got everything. I had, you know, the recipe that I made was grilled jerk chicken with coconut rice and mango salsa. And I spent a year at the University of the West Indies in Trinidad and worked in 8 Caribbean countries. So I had that going for me. And by the way, one of the things I really enjoy about your book are the stories you tell. Personal stories, some of them really funny, others heartwarming. And you spent time in the Caribbean. So I thought,
yeah,
well, I spent
my
time there.
My husband and I have sailed. We are sailors, and we started sailing when my daughter was 5. And I'm not sure why I agreed to do it, because it feels kind of scary. But we really have loved it. And the Caribbean has such great, they have different fruit, they have different vegetables, different foods. And that recipe, I just love coconut. I love coconut rice. And I think that recipe with the mango, it kind of brightens it up, but it is still sort of cozy and hearty.
Well, I've got to tell you that mixture of spices for the chicken. Okay. So we got 2 pounds of boneless skinless chicken thighs, and you're going to grill, you know, I followed the rules or followed the recipe and grilled them. But when I saw, okay, we've got brown sugar, kosher salt, paprika, grated garlic, onion powder, cinnamon, so forth, I thought, I got all these. And then when I put and some oil. And so when I put them together, I thought, is this really going to be enough to cover 2 pounds? And you know, put them in the plastic bag, covered it perfectly, and let it sit 4 or 5 hours, and then grilled it. And I'm going to tell you, even if I don't, well, I love the coconut rice. I'd never made it that way before in my Instant Pot, and the mango salsa that went with it, which another really simple thing to put together, but made such a huge difference in the final taste. This was an absolutely, I had my 22-year-old daughter home to visit, and she absolutely loved it, and I loved it. So pretty much all ages are going to love this one.
I loved it. I also love that you talked about your Instant Pot, because I'm sort of obsessed. They call me the soup queen. And in Minneapolis here, I do TV demonstrations and I use my Instant Pot all the time. It's the best for cooking grains or beans.
Oh, it works. It worked really good. And it works really well. And it's frankly, a less muss and fuss with that.
Yeah.
with that coconut rice and the mango salsa. Anyway, it is worth the price of the book is that one recipe. Right there.
Oh,
although there are many
so nice.
More, there are many more recipes that people are going to enjoy when they try them out. Tom in Waupaca has a comment here. Let's go there. Hi, Tom.
Good morning, Larry and guests. I'm from Waupaca, where the guest says her father was from. And yes, we call them cottages in Waupaca, but I also have a cabin in Bayfield County. And Larry, you know, north of Highway 8, we call them cabins. So the difference between cottage and cabin isn't Wisconsin versus Minnesota. It's north or south of Highway 8.
Exactly. And our cabin is north of Highway 8 in Bayfield County, and it is called a cabin.
That's so funny. My husband is sailing Lake Superior this week and just went to Isle Royale and is sailing back right now to Bayfield.
Oh, well, he's sailing back to a wonderful place. Tom, thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call there. Well, is there a recipe that captures cabin life for you? You know, which one most captures cabin life?
Oh, most captures. I mean, people always ask me what my favorite recipe is in this book. And I really do love the beer cheese wild rice soup because I feel like it's cozy, it's soupy, it's got the beer, which I'm a beer person, but I also love wild rice. Probably, I mean, this book is so varied. Like, I have these pumpkin muffins that I really love that are from a resort on the lake called Burnside Lodge. It's a historic resort that's been there since the 1920s. And their daughter is the pastry chef, and she makes these wonderful pumpkin muffins. So I worked hard to try to recreate those. But there's also like a savory breakfast sausage casserole that's perfect for Christmas morning. My Swedish meatballs are sort of legendary, if I do say so myself. And those are in here because we have those every Christmas Eve. There is a fish chowder that I'm obsessed with that I think I first had at a place in Michigan off of Lake Superior, a chowder that kind of blew my mind. So I wanted to recreate a super creamy chowder with bacon and that Old Bay seasoning because I used to live in Baltimore and I love that seasoning. Another recipe that people think is really hard, and it's not hard. You just have to perfect it because you've got to make the batter ahead of time, is popovers. And Marshall Fields and Dayton Hudson, I was a waitress in high school at Dayton's, and we would serve the popovers all the time. And just that really is a touchstone for me of how I grew up. And I've been a waitress since I was 14 years old. I'm not a trained chef. I'm a home cook. And somehow this has been like the fifth act of my career that all of a sudden people thought, hey, this lady's kind of funny. And Julia Child worked. So at the same age as Julia Child is, I have been experiencing this resurgence of this TV career, of the books, of the radio show that I've had for 18 years. People are listening. It's crazy. It's been super fun.
You mentioned popovers, and I haven't made popovers in a long time. I've got to pull the popover pan out and give that recipe a try.
It's good. There's a recipe in here that speaks specifically to Wisconsin in my life. And there's a supper club there called Simpsons that's in Wapaka that has been there for years. And they had this broiled scallop and broiled haddock dish. And I really worked hard to try to recreate it. And I'll tell you, I didn't. And because I couldn't, I had to modify the broiled scallops with a really delicious oven-baked risotto, because I don't know if you know this, but you don't have to stir risotto for 30 minutes. It's a myth. And then I made baked haddock with a breadcrumb topping because I couldn't get the seasonings exactly right as the supper club. But I love supper clubs. I love relish trays. I love that homey, warm, buttery feeling.
Oh, I do as well. I'll be going off on vacation in not in the near future, actually. And one of the things we'll be playing a lot of golf every day. But then we'll be looking into all of the supper clubs in the area, and having some fun trying them out. In my first introduction today, I mentioned chili. And the one chili that you mentioned, I think it was early, it's big beefy chili. And one thing that you added that I hadn't thought about was pumpkin puree.
Yeah.
Chili.
Yeah, you can really amp up a beefy chili with pumpkin puree because it gives it a little more richness. You can also add cinnamon. That also adds to the flavor. And then my mom, and this recipe is in the book too, my mom was from Stevens Point, and I don't know where this came up, but she would put elbow macaroni in her chili to, I think, extend it and to make it heartier because we had four kids and obviously, you know, trying to make things go a little bit further. But we still we have two types of chili. We make the beefy chili, and then we make the elbow macaroni chili in homage to my mom. And pumpkin is really a versatile ingredient. My editor was like, look, you have 8 pumpkin recipes in here. Are you sure you don't want to cut a few out? And I was like, no, I love pumpkin.
Well, I thought, well, that's one I'm going to try out. And I actually mentioned it to Jill Nadeau, who said, I just made some myself with a pumpkin puree or with pumpkin. And she said it was wonderful. You was really talking it up. So I thought, well, I had to bring that up on the show today. I also wanted to bring up the photos in your book are just wonderful. I mean, you want to eat the page.
That's so crazy, Larry, because, okay, so the first book, I researched hiring someone to do the photographs, and it was about $18,000. And I don't know if you know this, but if you're a reasonably successful cookbook author, your book's going to make about $15,000. Excuse me. So the math
wasn't there. The math was definitely not there for that.
So I had to do it myself.
Well, you did yourself. Oh, so you did it yourself, and I think we might have lost your voice. Are you there?
Yes.
Oh, okay, good. We got you there. And it was it was wonderful. I'm going to mention one more just in passing here, just because it shows that we don't have to do everything all the time, and that was the Gruyere puff pastry with sun-dried tomatoes. And you know what? You can go and buy yourself a sheet of frozen puff pastry. You don't have to do it. You don't have to make it yourself.
Making puff pastry is so hard.
Why would anybody want to do it?
I mean, unless you're like a trained French chef and you've got time, because the kind that you can buy is pretty good. In fact, Trader Joe's at the holiday season has a puff pastry that is as good as any I've ever bought. And they only carry it during the holidays. But yeah, using that to snuggle up some Gruyere, melt that with sun-dried tomatoes. It's a delightful, easy recipe. We made that one on our TV show, Taste Buds. And my producer, who was a vegan at the time, ate almost the whole thing. And we had to give her LaCroix to break through the cheese because she was in a food coma for the whole afternoon.
By the way, tell us about that TV show, which is coming to Wisconsin.
It is, yes. We'll be in Appleton, Milwaukee, Madison, probably on your Fox or your Sinclair station. We started doing a YouTube show in Minneapolis, and the Fox station here started producing it. And this week, we have syndicated to 85 markets. It's really my pleasure to be able to go out in the field and meet someone who's either a chef or a food producer. And we learn about ingredients or something that's maybe native to their homeland or something that is interesting that a home chef might not know. And then we take that information and we come back into my actual kitchen in my actual house. And we make things that are easy, delicious, and tasty, and things that you can make at home. I'll kind of make it so that it's really the easiest version of it. So, for instance, we did a pasta recipe and a pasta episode where we visited this woman who's making these beautiful pastas. But at home, we just used a flour and water and an egg, and we rolled it out with a rolling pin and cut it. I didn't realize making pasta is so easy.
I didn't either. And if you've got one of those devices.
The Cuisinart or the extruders.
Yeah.
I didn't even have that because I thought people probably don't have that. So I want them to try this anyway. So I literally just rolled it as thin as I could and cut it and made little nests and boiled it. And the sauce I made was just cherry tomatoes, olive oil, and garlic that we roasted in the oven. It couldn't be simpler.
Don in Iron River would like to get a copy of your book, but he doesn't have access to the internet. Any ideas of how he could get the book? He's in Bayfield County, of course, in what we were just talking about, northern Wisconsin.
There are stores in Bayfield that have it.
There are a couple of really good bookstores in Bayfield, which I get up there at least once a year, and I visit both those stores.
Is it Honest Dog?
Yes. So that's
they
one
have
of
it.
They have it?
I know they have it. They're great people there.
Yeah, they're wonderful people. So Don in Iron River, that would be one place to go. Or just go to your local bookstore and say, hey, would you order me a copy of True North Cabin Cookbook?
And I think it's in the library system, too.
It's in the library system as well. Polly in Menominee Falls has something for us. Hi, Polly.
Hi, Larry. Does your guest know anything about what to do with a lot of green tomatoes, a recipe? Because I'm going to end up with a whole bunch pretty soon here.
I know what
you
mean.
Okay, hello in Menominee Falls. My Uncle Paul and my Aunt Karen live there. So that's fun. Yes, I always plant tomatoes, and in Ely, Minnesota, I've had entire summers where I've never gotten a red one. What I do with the green tomatoes is I make green tomato salsa. There is a recipe for it on my website at stephaniesdish.com, and I make the salsa and I can it.
And I think you can make a jam out of it, too.
I did just make a tomato jam, but I didn't use the green tomatoes, but you easily could. I've also made a chutney with late season rhubarb and green tomatoes that's quite good, and that recipe is there as well. I took my best recipes from the cabin and put them in the book, but I've been doing recipes at stephaniesdish.com for over 10 years. And I'm a canner and a pickler. I love, I'm making my own apple cider right now. I'm kind of someone who loves the home ec arts.
I don't know if we may have time for this, but you tell a great story in the book about Thanksgiving and Kurt stuffing.
Yes. My husband is someone that cooks the bird on Thanksgiving. In fact, the first turkey I ever cooked was for Taste Buds with Stephanie on our Thanksgiving episode, and trying to carve it was quite a feat. But he would really work hard on, you know, using the giblets and fancy mushrooms and all of these delicious apricots and raisins, and he would make this beautiful stuffing. And then my family would come over, and it was just too fancy for them. They could not cope. So my sister finally got the nerve, and she said, I really want to come to Thanksgiving, but I'm only coming if you make stuffing just like Mom did, which meant basically the back of the brown berry stuffing package. She said, do not put fruit in it. Do not try to sneak in any necks or gizzards or anything funky, because I'll know and I won't come to Thanksgiving again. We laughed. So now Kurt just follows the recipe on the back of the package.
It's one of the many great side stories of your life. There are some really funny. I mean, there's one on there's some New Year's Eve story. There's obviously the Christmas stories. I love every one of them, and I certainly love grilled jerk chicken with coconut rice and mango salsa. And you know what? When I just, even if I'm just going to grill some chicken, I'm going to make that jerk.
Yeah. And you can even you could swap it out. Like you could use peaches instead of the mangoes. That's really good. I've made that with pork chops, or pineapple could be good too. You could use that in place of the mangoes. So kind of trying to keep it seasonal.
Yeah, I was thinking about I thought this would be great with pineapple. There'd be no reason. I mean, I had to sit and watch the pineapples ripen before I could actually use
them. I would probably grill the pineapples, too, just to add a little bit of char into the salsa, which would be nice.
Yeah, why didn't I do that? Well, that's because I'm me and you're you, and you know better.
Yeah, you gotta think of the stuff.
Stephanie, it's been a great pleasure talking with you today about your book. And how do we find out about the TV show so that we know when it's coming to Wisconsin?
Yeah, you can go to Taste Buds with Stephanie on social media, also on YouTube. And there were three Wisconsin stations that I sent in the notes for the producer. So maybe they can find that and link where those will be. I'm really excited to come to Wisconsin. You know, it's sort of annoying that the East Coast and the West Coast get all the publicity about food, because we're the breadbasket, right? We're making the best cheese. We have the cows. We have the wheat. We are really doing a lot of the work here. And it's so fun to introduce people to these purveyors and producers and to finally have the Midwest have a moment.
Stephanie, a great pleasure. Thank you so much for being
with
us today. Appreciate it very much. Stephanie Hansen, her book is titled True North Cabin Cookbook. I loved it, and I'll be making more recipes out of that book. I can tell you that for sure. Well, there's always lots to do in Wisconsin, and who better than to tell us about it than Ann Sayers, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Tourism. She's next. I'm Larry Mueller. Well, you know, fall's about here. The nights are a little chillier now. The leaves are starting to turn. The apple cider and the donuts are plentiful. Larry Mueller here. Wisconsin's a great place to be during the fall season, and nobody knows that better than Ann Sayers, our guest today. She's Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Tourism. She has lots of things to do and events to attend this autumn for you and for me. Secretary Sayers will also be taking your recommendations for your favorite things to do in the fall. What's going on in your area? Tell us about your traditions. When people visit from out of state, where do you take them at this time of the year? Or where do you like to go yourself? Give a call. The number's 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us to talk@wpr.org. Secretary Ann Sayers, welcome back. Good to have you with us once again.
I love being here. Thanks for having me, Larry.
We always play a game, which I fail most of the time. It's called Fest or Fiction to start our conversation. And tell us, for those who don't know, tell us about that game.
I love this segment. I'm so glad you're up for it once again. So we all know Wisconsin's home to some truly remarkable fall festivals. We have some kind of wacky ways that we celebrate. So we came up with this game, Fest or Fiction. Listeners, you can play along at home, test your own knowledge at travelwisconsin.com/Fest or Fiction. But the premise here of the game, it's simple. I'm going to say the name of a festival. Larry's going to say whether he thinks it's real or made up. For the real festivals, I'll give you a little more detail. And for those that are too good to be true, I'll share some information about a similar kind of event. So, Larry, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling smart today.
I feel good about this, too. You're going to do great.
All right. Hit me with one.
All right. First one, Goat-toberfest. Fest or fiction?
Goat-toberfest.
Yep.
Well, we've got a few goats in Wisconsin, but we certainly have Oktoberfest. I think you're trying to fool me on this one. There's a Goat-toberfest.
There is, and it's at LeClaire Creamery, which is just a beloved agritourism destination in Fond du Lac County. You can visit any time of year. Visitors can enjoy sampling their award-winning goat cheese. I'm not kidding. I never don't have LeClaire goat cheese in my fridge. I think I could just die without it. But you can also tour their cheese-making operation, dine at their on-site cafe. But on Saturday, September 27th, they take the whole experience up a notch with Goat-toberfest. This day-long event is going to be filled with family fun. There's a kids' fun run through the goat barn. There's kiddie pedal pools, live entertainment, drinks, and, of course, goats. And if you can't make it to Goat-toberfest, LeClaire regularly hosts events on the weekends. They have goat yoga. They actually have goat cuddle sessions for the kids and kids at heart, which would be you and me, I think, Larry.
I would guess so. Well, that really actually sounds like a lot of fun. And that's in Fond du Lac County.
They do such a nice job up there. You will love it.
Well, I will give that a shot. What have you got next for me?
All right. Number two, Art of Cheese Festival. Fest or fiction?
That is true. That is fact. I know that because I think it's, well, I know it's held in Madison.
Yay, I
got one right. Well, if I got that one wrong, I would be really embarrassing. talk about it.
Yeah, well, you know Wisconsin. concentrates cheese making as an art form. So, of course, we have this Art of Cheese event. The Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin are hosting the second edition of the festival in Madison the weekend of September 25th through the 28th. They hold it every 2 years, and it's just a celebration of Wisconsin's artisan cheese culture. We are, after all, the only state to offer a master cheesemaker license, and we produce nearly half of the country's specialty cheeses. And we regularly win more awards than any other state or country. So you can taste all of that excellence at the Art of Cheese Festival. You're going to discover a mix of chef-led experiences, tasting events, excursions, and more. But act quick because the tickets are limited. They are selling out fast. For a free experience, visit Madison on Saturday, September 27th for the Cheese Fair off the square to explore, shop, and connect with the cheesemakers.
Well, I got one right, and that is a very nice festival, for sure. Well, okay, what's next?
All right, next up, the Minotaur Rodeo.
Minotaur Rodeo. I have, you know, I think you're trying to trick me here. It doesn't sound possible, but then it probably is. But I'm going to say no anyway.
You got it. We tried to get you on that one. Good job.
I got it right. All right. Well, what about the next one?
Well, so the Minotaur Rodeo, we don't have that.
Okay.
But we do have Dragon Days Fantasy Festival.
Oh.
So we can get you kind of close. This is a fun-filled festival. It's in Lake Geneva. It's for families, fantasy fans, and gamers alike. So it's paying homage to Gary Gygax, who grew up in Lake Geneva and co-created the game Dungeons & Dragons back in 1974. And next month is the return. It's now the third annual Dragon Days Fantasy Festival. Lots of fantasy-themed activities, performances, and more happening on October 4th and 5th throughout the city. You can learn how to play Dungeons & Dragons and other tabletop games, explore an exhibition about Gygax at the Geneva Lake Museum, browse the wares of the medieval vendors, and see live demonstrations.
Well, and that area is fun to visit anyway, that Geneva area. So that sounds like fun. What else have you got for me?
Okay, next one. Frights and Bites.
Frights and Bites. It was a TV show that wasn't there. That was called Frights and Bites. I think you're trying to trick me with the title of the TV show. So I'm going to say no. I got that one right too.
You did. You're killing it. You're crushing this. But we may not have Frights and Bites, but we do have Booze and Brews. And you have to get up to Sheboygan for this. Bookworm Gardens, such a sweet place. It's a seasonal storybook-themed botanical garden. It's normally there to delight kids and families. But the first weekend in October, Bookworm Gardens invites adults to experience a Halloween-themed event. It's adults-only, Booze and Brews. It takes place October 3rd and 4th. You'll be dazzled at a garden decked out in over 100,000 twinkling lights and Halloween decor. Enjoy live music both nights and themed beverages like the graveyard old-fashioned and ghoulish mules, warm up with toasty bonfires and dinner from an on-site food truck. Costumes are highly encouraged for Booze and Brews, so start planning your perfect storybook costume today.
And where is it again?
Sheboygan.
Sheboygan. Okay. Well, that sounds like fun. We've got, is there one more?
We've got one more.
Let's do one more.
All right, here it is. Soup Walk. Best or fiction?
Who would walk around eating soup at various spots? I'm going to say fiction on that one. Oh, no.
I mean, you were on the right track. We've all heard of a wine walk or maybe a beer walk, but a soup walk? That's new, but they're making it happen in Appleton. You can visit the community on Saturday, October 11th for their annual Downtown Appleton Soup Walk. You'll stroll through downtown, savor delicious soups from a variety of participating businesses. And that sounds just like so fall, so fun, doesn't it?
Well, actually, it does, and I love Appleton anyway. It's a great city and just a fun place to visit. Why haven't I heard about the Soup Walk before? Well, there's probably a lot of things that I haven't heard about that.
We have a lot of festivals to keep track of in Wisconsin.
Well, that is always a lot of fun. And I'm thinking we've got Peak Color just around the corner, and you have some great ideas for scenic fall drives. Where's a good place to plan your trip?
So the trees are just starting here in southern Wisconsin, but it'll be here before we know it. So some ideas for help you plan your fall color getaway is Travel Wisconsin's Fall Color Report. It really is this one-stop shop, perfect resource for planning your trip. It's an interactive map-based report, shows up-to-date information on the status of all the fall colors throughout the state. We actually have volunteer reporters that are providing regular updates through the end of October as the leaves start to change from green to peak. Really cool feature on here is an estimated week of peak across the state. We're using historical observations to help people plan for when you'll see peak color. You can also find where colors are showing right now if you're looking to do more of a spur of the moment trip. Just select a destination on the map to get some recommendations, including local dining options, lodging, activities, and events. You can find all of this at travelwisconsin.com/fallcolorreport.
Yeah, and those data that you collect, so some of it is based on history, but then there's probably updates that you get, too, from people.
Yeah, we are so lucky to have all these volunteer reporters who want to make sure that visitors have exactly the kind of experience they're looking for this fall. So they help us keep it really up to date. But because we have all these years of reports, we now kind of have a fairly good estimate of when things will happen. So you can plan a little bit better even into the future, which is a nice new feature.
Well, wait a minute. Before we do that, I've got to remind everybody that our guest today is Ann Sayers, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Tourism, talking about things to do here in Wisconsin. You may have a suggestion as well. Maybe there's an event going on in your area you want to talk about, or maybe you have a question about a particular area. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us to talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Talking about things to do here in Wisconsin at this time of the year with Ann Sayers, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Tourism. Again, join in if you got something you want to promote or ask a question about, give a call, 800-642-1234, email to talk@WPR.org. Let's take a trip to the Driftless region. What's a good road to take if you want to see the Driftless region?
I mean, I love the Driftless any time of year, but the fall, oh my gosh. So one idea for you is Highway 95. This is between Fountain City and Neillsville. You're going to journey along 77 miles of highway. It's just surrounded by forests and farmland. You're going to be winding through the valleys of the Driftless, be awed by all that color, and you're going to be able to like go up on these hilltops and see great views. Starting in Fountain City, maybe try dining with dragons at the Monarch
sure.
Public House. Sure, right? Why not? Their roots stretch back to 1894. The Monarch Public House is actually the oldest continually operating tavern in Wisconsin. So that's a fun fact. And statues and depictions of dragons create a mythical ambiance. And you're going to savor Irish dishes along with some classic pub fare there. And then you'll make your way all the way to Neillsville. You can visit the High Ground Veterans Memorial Park. As that name implies, it's a hilltop park. It's sweeping views of color wash countryside and tributes to Wisconsin's Vietnam War veterans.
I've been there. It's a fabulous experience. So those are good places. Mary in Stevens Point has something for us. Let's go there. Mary, hello.
Hey, hello, Larry. Good to hear from you. Hey, I would like to put an event that's happening this Saturday, the 20th, at the Stevens Point Sculpture Park. We are going to have the Lit Celebration, okay? And what is that? It's like We have over 50 sculptures in the park, and we will. This is our fifth time we're doing it. We have sculptures that are lit. It's from 7 to 9 o'clock.
Oh, and so you'll be able to go through the park. And what's the park again?
The Stevens Point Sculpture Park.
Stevens Point Sculpture Park. Go through the park. You've got all of those sculptures, and you're going to have them lit kind of in a cool way.
Exactly.
All right. And is there a charge for this?
Nope. It's all free. We will have dancers there. The only thing is, hey, we wouldn't mind a donation. So if you know where Zenoff Park is, okay, we're just south of that.
Well, that is very, very cool. And were you, Secretary Sayers, are you familiar with this?
I am. My family and I love the sculpture park, so I can't recommend that enough. But I did not know about this lit event, which sounds very cool. I just quick looked up a picture. It looks amazing. So I hope folks can make it out for that. It's a really, really special kind of walk, combining an outdoor recreation moment with some art.
Mary, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. And Julie in Ontario, Wisconsin, your turn. Hi, Julie.
Hi, this is Julie from Ontario, and I just wanted to do a shout-out for the Kickapoo River. Right now, the colors are starting to peek through a little bit, and an opportunity to get on the river with canoeing, kayaking, tubing, not so much tubing, but kayaking, canoeing is a perfect time, and Titanic Canoe Rental is a great place to go. But right now, the fall colors are beautiful.
The Kickapoo River, and that is a winding one. It's a very beautiful setting, Secretary Sayers.
I love that suggestion. And another thing that's always so special on the Kickapoo River is the dark skies. And we've had some really beautiful ones recently, including some northern lights. So that's always a possibility when you're on the Kickapoo River.
Julie, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Let's go north. I'm kind of a fan of Hayward, and I understand you recommend Hayward once in a while yourself.
Yeah, I'm a Hayward fan for sure. And what's so cool right now is you can pick from 6 self-guided tours to take in the autumn scenery of the Northwoods, and they're going to range from 45 miles to 73 miles long. A really popular one is Highway 77 that runs through the Shawamigan-Nicolet National Forest. Pops up yellow, orange, red are going to stand out against the green, of course, of the forest pines. For a twist on a road trip, you could consider getting off-road and onto the trails. This area is home to 130 miles of mountain biking trails. For something exhilarating, the Hayward area is also perfect for exploring the fall canopy by ATV or UTV, and you're going to find several local businesses that offer rentals.
So lots to see there. And the Fishing Hall of Fame is there as well. And it's kind of a fun place to go through. I'm actually a charter member of the National Fishing Water Hall. And my name is emblazoned inside the giant muskie up by its mouth.
Well, isn't that good to know? I will look next time I'm there. I'll send you a picture.
Oh my gosh. Let's see. Kettle Moraine Scenic Drive would also be a good one for your list.
Yeah, we can't talk fall without the Kettle Moraine. That's a 115-mile route, crosses through 6 different counties. It starts in Whitewater Lake in the south, reaches Elkhart Lake in the north. Just bobbing and weaving through stretches of forest rich in color. There's going to be picnic areas and parks and trails, scenic overlooks dotting the whole drive. Consider making a pit stop at Parnell Tower. This is an elevated view 60 feet above the forest floor. On a clear day from there, you can see as far as 25 miles out.
Oh, man.
I know. Another thing not to miss is Holy Hill. Fantastic sightseeing. It's a nearly 100-year-old church situated on top of a glacial hill for panoramic views. You won't believe how the color pops in that area. And then when you're ready to eat, check out the Copper Dock. This is near Hubertus, right off the route. They put a fresh spin on fine dining, and the lakeside views are even better with all that fall color happening, reflecting off the water.
Oh, this is a great time of the year. And Halloween, I've been told that Halloween is your favorite holiday.
I guess the cat's out of the bag. I love Halloween. And Wisconsin is doing so much to celebrate it right. I'm really, really proud of us.
And Old World, I know something, even Old World Wisconsin has something going on the Halloween side.
This is so cool. So, you know, they're all about bringing the past to life. And here at Halloween, they do it in a really eerie, supernatural kind of way. It's called Halloween Legends and Lore at Old World Wisconsin. You can travel to this historic recreation village. It's near Eagle. And for 3 weekends, it's a family-friendly event, but you're not ever going to forget this. You're going to shiver as costume performers tell folklore by candlelight. So these are the stories that kept cultures awake at night for centuries. You're going to learn about Wisconsin-born stories of ghouls and monsters. You can even participate in an authentic Victorian seance. So cool. But it's not all frights. Legends and Lore entertains folks with, you know, there's fun photo opportunities, ghostly games, hot food and drinks. You do need to book your tickets, though. This is a limited time experience. It's happening Fridays and Saturdays on October 10, 11, 17, 18, and 24, 25.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun. They, my daughter, I just sent her off to her first full-time job at the Topeka, Kansas Zoo, the Topeka Zoo. But there's some family fun at the Racine Zoo coming up.
They always do such a nice job. And this one is the Jack-O-Lantern Nights at the Racine Zoo. Family-friendly fun through October. Hundreds of jack-o'-lanterns are going to light up the night. It's Thursdays and through Sundays until Halloween. The pumpkins are intricately carved into cats, scarecrows, all these Halloween shapes. They line the pathways to dazzle the visitors. And the zoo itself will be decked out in lighting to fit the spooky ambiance. Visitors are going to enjoy pumpkin displays, tractors, photo opportunities, and more. It's just really such a nice evening at the Racine Zoo.
Yeah, it sounds great. I didn't want the time to go away without talking about agrotourism and traveling to farms to experience life and culture. And there's some things going on in that way.
Yeah, maybe one idea is Marathon County. There's an assortment of fall activities happening here in central Wisconsin at Helene's Hilltop Orchard. It's a farm in Merrill. They operate an extensive U-Pick apple experience. You're going to have some of your favorites like Honeycrisp, Zestar, Macintosh. Plan your trip soon to see a sunflower field while you're there. It'll be washed in that golden color. That, too, of course, is limited time, Instagram-worthy opportunity probably through the end of September. But you can't leave Helene's Hilltop Orchard until you go to the bakery, stocking up on mouth-watering pastries, bread, their signature pies. Then head up to the 100-year-old hayloft. They have lots of farmhouse-style decor and gifts so you can bring a souvenir home. Because I would definitely eat the pie in the car. So that's not making it home.
You're making me hungry. Oh, man. And there's another farm you recommend, I think, in Fort Atkinson?
Oh, the Busy Barn Farm Adventures is so much fun for kids and parents to experience life on a farm. Year-round activities there, farmyard games, obstacle courses, a petting zoo, antique tractors. But in the fall, they roll out lots of seasonal attractions, a hay wagon to the pumpkin patch, pumpkins of all shapes, sizes, and colors, and a corn maze that incorporates some agricultural trivia.
So as you think about the state and the time of the year, which is the most popular season for tourism in Wisconsin?
We're actually surprisingly a four-season destination. We don't see a huge drop-off the way some states do, and that's just because people love that four-season nature of things. But our top month for tourism is July, and our second busiest month is actually October. So people love these fall offerings.
Well, you've got Oktoberfest and Goattoberfest.
Right.
And all the good festivals that are going on this time of the year. And it's always a pleasure. And I did pretty good this time around. I got a few right for once.
You did great. We'll try harder next time to stump you.
All right. Thank you, Ann. Ann Sayers, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Tourism. Great to have her back with us. And just go to the Department of Tourism website, and you're going to find all the things we talked about today and a whole lot more. It's really a great website. And so do that, okay? Tomorrow on the show, PJ Leash back to answer your insect questions. We'll also talk about solar energy for the home, that and a whole lot more tomorrow on the show. And thank you for joining us today. This and all our shows are a team effort. Clara Kniper, Joel Patnod, Lee Rayburn, and Jeff Robbins. Our executive producer is Jill Nadeau. I'm Larry Mueller. Thank you so much for listening, and please stay with us. Lots more in store here on WPR News.